So,
First of all, what's the whole thing about? What, tell me, give me a brief gist of what the whole organization, I mean
the tournament, we've been organizing this for 10 years. This is the 10th year we're organizing it. The main reason of organizing this soccer tournament is to bring our youth together so they can know each other. Most of these young people are going to school here, to college. So that can be an opportunity for them to be discovered by colleges that draft students to send them scholarship. That's one. The other reason is like for the youth to know each other, because these people, they live in different boroughs, different neighborhoods. If it wasn't for the soccer tournament, they wouldn't know each other, no way. So people come from Queens, others Brooklyn, Bronx, Harlem, Staten Island, some even in Long Island. And then they come together here, they play, and because of this, they know each other. So our goal is that if somebody who is in your team have a job or have a job opening, they can call their friends, okay, there is something here. Or somebody is going to a college, his college is looking for good players, they can call them, bring them there. So this is the main goal. The second main goal is basically to keep them off the street, because usually if they are by themselves on the street, they might end up dealing drugs or, doing something unlawful. So that's like the second goal. The third and last goal is basically keeping them healthy. As you know, sport keep people healthy, but it's not just the physical health that is important to us. You know, soccer is like teamwork. When you are playing in a team, you learn how to be a team player, not to be selfish, so how to share things. So all these are part of the health. So both mental and physical health are provided through this
So
tournament.
who organizes these games?
The organizer is an NGO from Guinea, originally from Guinea. It's called Portal Fimantal, which means United for Development. But the legal name is Portal Fimantal. That's Portal space FII space Bhantal. That's the legal name here in America. This is the one who's organizing basically this tournament every year. And we spend close to $15,000 doing this, between buying insurance, buying the jerseys, paying for the soccer field. At the park department, you have to pay by hour $40, and then buying water for the players, and paying the referees, because we used to use our own people to do the referring. But they started complaining and said referees are biased, they take inside and things like that. So now we hiring like outsiders, Spanish referees. These are the ones who come, they don't know who's who, they don't know who, all they know is the game. Some of them don't even speak English. So these are the ones who are doing the referee, and we pay them $150 per game, every, like not one, like the whole team of referees, three of them. So we pay them $150 per game, which is $300 every day that we organize the tournament. These are some of the expenses that we have.
How do you raise funds for this? Where does the money come from?
90%.
Yes.
All right. About 90% of the funds are coming from the organizers' pocket, like the members of the NGO. But lately, we started doing things that might help us reduce the out-of-pocket cost. It is using sponsorship. So some of the companies from my community, we go see them. Like there is a realtor, we go see him. He sponsor like one team or two teams, so that we can put his name on in the front of the jerseys. And he pays.
Are these Guinean-owned businesses, or they're just
mostly Guinean-owned businesses? We tried the other businesses, but it didn't work yet. Only one company, which was a bank, a mortgage bank, that sponsored our team one time. And we basically charge $1,000 to have your name on the jersey. In addition to that, we organize basically, we record audios that we put on our, how you call this, on our radios, local news, that's like advertisement. And we allow these companies to come distribute flyers and things that have their banners in the field. We do that. So we working on that. Last year we had one. This year we have three. So let's hope by the next 2-3 years we won't have to spend any money anymore out of our own pocket.
So what's the structure? How are the teams organized? In terms of how are the teams formed?
The teams, like we have a NGO that regroup the entire Guinean community. Now, out of Guinea also, there are cities that are organized as like association here. So we work with those associations. They are the ones who bring their own teams. And we charge them $500 to participate in the tournament. Okay? We used to have up to 12 teams. To participate. This year we only have 5 teams out of 8 that shows up, but 3 didn't meet the necessary requirements, so we had to dismiss them. Now, these NGOs, this association, city-based association, when they come, we tell them the rules and regulation. They are responsible of hiring their own team, their own players. Now, we give them the possibility to hire like 5 foreigners. Those can be like Ghanaians, they can be Senegalese, and any, because it's not easy really to find a whole team from your own city. It's nearly impossible. So that's how they get the chance to bring their teams. And we give them, we set the rules that they have to follow. They have to provide us the list of the players with the date of birth, because the insurance requires those. We buy $4 million coverage in case of somebody get a broken leg or something like that. So, and the insurance company required to have a list of the players with their date of birth to make sure. Sometimes you can have two people with same name but different date of birth to differentiate them. So this is basically how we
organize. So the teams are named after cities
in Guinea.
Does that mean that those players who are playing in that particular team necessarily come from that city?
No. Like 95% of the players are not from the city, that particular city. But the associations, basically, they doing it to give promotion to their own group here, to let the other people know to come. And this tournament also have been doing something that we didn't aim for, but it turned out to be positive. So the day of the game, families come. You know, they come with their children, they let the children play together on the side, you know, they know each other, and then the family socialize among themselves. We used, like, somebody like testified, oh, I used to hear this person on the radio all the time. It's my first time seeing their face. So now they can put the voice on the face, they know who is speaking, you know. So this is something we didn't aim for, but it turned out to be something very good.
Natural resultant.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what's in it for those who participate? If you win, for instance,
okay,
what's the prize?
The number one winner get $1,500, number two, $1,000, and then sometimes we don't have third place, sometimes we do. We give them either $500 or $750, depending. In addition to that, they all get trophies, they get medallions, and basically the best striker, like who have most goal, we give them a check, 100, 200, depending on how much money we have left. And the team that behave the most, meaning less red card, less penalties, things like that, we also reward them by a trophy, and we sometimes give them money. Some other time we tell them not to pay their portion, the $500 portion, because of the good behavior. So these are some of the elements that we use as reward for the
participants. Now, you realize that in New York we have a few professional soccer teams.
Yes.
But you know that by African standards, they are not, you know, which means that some of the players can actually go graduate to play in these teams.
Yes.
Are you exploring that?
Unfortunately, we didn't start exploring that. However, our teams, like we sponsor teams every year to go play international tournament, There is, for instance, a tournament called Cosmos Tournament that is played on Randall Island every year. We sponsor a team to go there. And there is another tournament that is played in Brooklyn, organized by the Caribbeans. We sponsor our team to go there. This year also, there is a tournament organized in New Jersey. One of our team is participating to that. Unfortunately, we wasn't aware about it, so we didn't sponsor them. And in those tournaments, those are slightly bigger than our own tournament because they are international. But it is an opportunity for us basically to push our players to go there and get noticed by recruiters. There is also another tournament that is being organized by the African Advisory Council that is with the Bronx Borough President Office, Ruben Diaz. And our team participate on that tournament too. That's like for the African teams only.
Yeah, so our team, actually going to ask you that, do you play other African countries?
Yes, we do. We do play other African countries. And we, by the way, we've been beating Ghana every year, okay? So
I think you've been playing the Team B.
No problem. We might have been playing the Team B, but we've been beating Ghana anyway. So there is Ghana, Senegal, Ivory Coast, and other African countries that participate to those tournaments.
Congratulations.
It's really fun. Yeah.
That's a lot of organization, and you make us proud by the way you were able to, bring the community together and showcase different aspects of, you know, who the African really is.
Basically, we are in this country. When we first started coming here, I don't know what other people think, but I know New York in particular was not safe. And we brought a lot of positive things in New York, like changing the neighborhood, making them safe, making them positive. This is what Africans are doing here, and I am proud of what we've been doing.
How did you do that? How did you make the neighborhood safe?
You know, many ways. Having our businesses around the corner, being aware of our surrounding, speaking about the positive things, what other ways. If I give you an example about a place in Brooklyn, they call Bedford-Stuyvesant. There is a place there on Fulton Street between Franklin and Bedford Avenue, okay? In that area, around the 1990s, between 1990 and around 1999 to 2000, every morning we used to find like 2, 3, 4 bodies there. Right now it is the safest neighborhood you can find, and it is the most expensive one in Brooklyn. Bedford-Stuyvesant is like the hottest place in Brooklyn. Who changed that? Immigrant. How did they do it? By coming, settle there, being aware, calling the police when it's necessary, and then having their small shop and things like that, to the point that bad people realize, hey, there is another side of the world that is a good, which is actually a good thing, you know. So right now, you can do your own research and find out it is something beautiful. Harlem right here, nobody changed Harlem but African people, mostly people from Senegal and Guinea. They settled in Harlem there, made it positive, clean, nice. Right now, they're chasing them out. Because when a place is nice now and it's clean, what made Bill Clinton come there and take his office with the Clinton Global Initiative? It was starting to be safe. And since then, Harlem have never been the same again. So it's the highest end neighborhood that you can find. And then when you look in, it's changing in every neighborhood where there are immigrants, you know. So I know we had brought a lot of positive things. I advocate all the time for us to keep doing that because it's something good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, thank you.